Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Thursday, January the 19th of 2017, and you've tuned in to the KRFY Morning Show with Jack and Carrie here in the Tiki Room. And good morning, Carrie. How are you?
I am fine, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. It's been a long time.
Yes.
You have been here around the radio station and even in this room, but not a host of the Thursday morning show.
I have not for like 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
3-4 weeks, something like that.
It was even
before. I had family
in
town and just didn't want to get up that early on Thursday mornings, to be quite honest.
I've had that feeling myself. Before I ask you how your winter break went, let me tell you a little bit about the weather, those of you out driving around right now. Foggy and 32 degrees, as you've probably noticed today, high of 36 with a good chance of rain continuing today. 60% chance of rain, and then tonight, if it does get cold enough, it's going to convert into about a 40% chance of snow, and then patchy fog tonight. Tomorrow, even warmer, 38 degrees, patchy fog, and then cloudy. Slight chance of snow on Friday night. On Saturday, back down to just around freezing, a high of 31 degrees on Saturday, with a 30% chance of snow and a 40% chance of snow on Saturday night. Then on Sunday, it could be rain or snow or nothing, a 40% chance of precipitation with a high right around that freezing point, 32 degrees. We are likely to get snow on Sunday night, though. So all of this kind of slush that's piling up might end up with a nice fresh layer of white on top of it by the time weekend's
up. And that's
up.
How I fell and broke my leg.
No.
With the ice underneath the snow, yes.
Ugh.
Slush, no, but ice underneath the snow. Very dangerous.
That's true. Shovel those walkways. Mine's a bit of a slushy mess right now. I was kind of hoping it would clean itself up with the rain. That snow that came down two nights ago was shocking. I was not expecting that snow, And then I got up, and it was white. I didn't have time to shovel, and then by the time I got home, it was raining, and it was just a heavy mess. And
sometimes weather does not cooperate with our schedules.
I'll say. What gives?
I don't know. Hey, January 19th. In 1945, January 19th, my parents were married.
Hey.
It would be 72 years this day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something, Carrie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It dawned on me as you were saying January 19th.
Mm-hmm. It's also tomorrow. We have a nice calendar here in the studio. Tomorrow is the Feast of Blessed Basil Moreau. We have the calendar from the University of Notre Dame featuring all sorts of feast days. And also registration. Last day for all class changes at Notre Dame on the 24th of January.
I better hurry up.
I know. I have no idea what the Feast of Blessed Blessed Basil Moreau is.
That's
but it's
not
coming
the,
up.
The pets one, I don't think. I don't know that length. No, there really is. There's
really?
Yes. The beasts are blessed.
Ah.
The dogs and the cats. And I know this because my grandchildren were in a parade in their hometown that was organized around that theme. And everybody brings their pets out and they get blessed. It's very nice.
I was not raised Catholic. The only ones that I know, St. Lucia, who's the middle of December, and she wears candles on her head.
Oh.
And brings cookies to
all the... I've seen
that.
That's very pretty.
Yeah. Cookies and coffee. Brings them to the adults in the house. And then St. Patrick chased the snakes out of Ireland. And that's about it for my knowledge of the saints in their days. How was your drive in, by the way? How are the roads?
Really foggy. The roads are great. If you look at I was looking at the intersection of the sidewalks, the crosswalks, those look pretty sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of icy and you walked over, right?
I walked over and it's slippery on the sidewalks.
Yeah.
I guess the roads do look pretty, they've been pretty well maintained, but
yeah, I think they put some of their, ITD puts some of their brine on the roads that they make, and those keep it pretty good.
But watch it when you get out of that car.
For sure.
Walking in
for
on that sidewalk. Yeah, it
The North Idaho Shuffle.
Tipped over.
I was taught that when I first moved here.
Uh-huh.
You have to wear sensible shoes and you shuffle.
I wear pretty ugly shoes all winter long, but I haven't fallen in quite a while. I was close this morning, but
really
haven't actually gone over yet all winter.
Oh.
I did tip over when I
On the proverbial wood.
Yeah. I got some cross-country skis for Christmas, which was very nice. And then I took those out and I tipped over once on those.
Oh. Did you use them around here? Did you go out to the U of I track or anything?
No, I haven't been out there yet.
That's supposed like to be awesome.
Supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you get for Christmas, Carrie? Anything good?
Oh, I got a really pretty bracelet from my husband.
Oh, that is pretty.
Yeah, it was from Artworks by a local artist, Joanne, and I don't remember her last name. But I like to go in Artworks. That's a neat place with all the local artists putting their wares in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just had a really nice holiday because all of my children, except our Marine grandson who's in Okinawa, everybody else was here. So it was really, really nice. Very, very nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. So the whole gang except for one.
Uh-huh.
Nice work.
Yep.
Well, I've got a couple of anniversaries here, actually birthdays and anniversaries of hits and things like that. If you were listening to the morning show earlier this week, you already know that the Monkees had their number one hit, their biggest hit, I'm a Believer, which sold more than 1 million copies in advance orders.
Wow.
And went gold within 2 days of it being released.
Is that because of their television presence or something?
I suppose so. This would have been 1967. They hit number one on the UK singles chart on this day, or on actually this publishing week, whatever. And so that's 50 years ago. And it is one of fewer than 40 all-time singles to have sold 10 million or more physical copies.
Huh.
So they're out there.
They're out there.
In living rooms and basements now.
So are they going to show up on Antiques Roadshow? Somebody will say,
"Well,
I have it in the original sleeve, and those weren't wrapped in saran wrap. They were just in the little
sleeve, paper.
The little 45 sleeve, right?
I guess those probably wouldn't be that valuable because there's 10 million of them out there. So
I don't know.
Anyway, I'm not going to play that because we just heard that on Tuesday morning show. We already discussed this, but in case you didn't tune in, now you know. However, in addition to that interesting fact, it was also on this day in 1939 that Phil Everly was born of the Everly Brothers.
Oh, I love the Everly Brothers. I got to see them in person.
Really?
Yeah, when I was in high school. I grew up in Madera, California, Central California, and they were playing in a little club that kids could go to in Fresno, California. And so a bunch of my friends and I went down to see the Everly Brothers. Yeah. Maybe it was the Righteous Brothers. I don't know. It was one of the brothers.
Yeah. Well, they were kind of in the same
group. Yeah. It was the Righteous Brothers. It wasn't the Everly Brothers.
Oh, forget that.
Oh,
okay. Shoot.
Cancel that whole thing out.
Well, you could have fooled me if you hadn't said it.
I guess.
I would never have known. I have a song queued up by them. We also have, of course, upcoming events to talk about. And as the hour progresses, I have a pre-recorded interview with Tim and Danya from the Half Act Players presenting their new show, Book Starts, which starts next Tuesday at 7 o'clock here on KRFY.
Oh, it's a radio show.
It's a radio show, and you'll want to listen to that interview because...
Cool.
It is cool. Yeah, they've got a really cool idea. I don't want to spoil it. I want to let them tell you all about it in just a little bit. But first, let's hear the Everly Brothers. And then later on in the hour, talking to Tim Martin and Danya Clarine about their show, Book Starts. Here's All I Have to Do Is Dream by Phil Everly and his brother, who are would be turning, what, 88? Eight today, I think. I think he passed away in 2014, but nonetheless, he'd be 78, I think. Let's say 78. Okay. Here we go.
Born in when?
He was born in 39.
Okay, so not, I'll work on that in the book.
Yeah, he'd be 78, I believe. Anyway, here we go. Here's the Everly Brothers.
The KRFY Morning Show is broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday, live at 8 a.m. Tune in to 88.5 or stream us live from our website at 8 o'clock to hear the complete and unedited program, including musical selections. Due to our licensing, we are unable to include full songs in our downloadable podcasts. We now return to the KRFY Morning Show.
The Everly Brothers. All I Have to Do is Dream. Phil Everly, born on this day in 1939, which would have made him 78. We're pretty sure.
What was your grade in math?
Yeah. Anyway, they had that number one single and also over 25 other top 40 hits. The Everly Brothers, you surely recognize their sound.
They were the cruising song, mm-hmm. cruising on a Friday and Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're from California. You're from.
Oh yeah, I'm from San Joaquin Valley.
What do we call it? The American Graffiti Country?
Actually, that was based in the city of Modesto, which is about 60 miles north of Madera in the San Joaquin Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Modesto, Merced, Madera.
Huh.
Three M's.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of
cool.
But
we aren't Valley girls. That's Southern California. San Fernando Valley. We were not Valley girls. We were born in the Valley,
no.
But it was the Valley, San Joaquin Valley.
Different.
Breadbasket of the world.
Okay. Well, good to know. So everybody, it turns out, was born on January 19th, big birthday day. Among others, we have, there's more coming up. I was about to announce another one, but maybe we should talk about events first. I'll tell you one without playing any song. Rod Evans from Deep Purple was born on this date, 1947, making him, therefore, 70, making him 70. Yes, Rod Evans, born on this date in 1947. Happy 70th birthday. Who had a couple of big hits, Deep Purple, back in the day. But let's talk a little bit about what's going on around town. You might know this one already, Carrie. The Banff Mountain Film Festival is going on and starts tonight.
That's a big one.
It is a big one. January 19th, that's today, through Saturday, January 21st, an exciting range of topics. Something for everyone, they say, at the Panada.
Michael Bogue's been putting that on here for years, and I believe part of the proceeds, at least, go to the educational efforts they support in his wife, her hometown in South America. And they sponsor children in schools.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yes.
I only knew about the great show that they put on.
Yep.
I mean, that's cool. I don't know. And anyway, that's you can go to panada.org for more information about that, of course. But you can get tickets if you're interested at Eichardt's Burger Express in Sandpoint and Bonner's Ferry, Outdoor Experience, and the Alpine Shop. Any extra tickets will be sold at the door on the night of the show because it does usually sell out.
Usually sells out. That's a good thing.
There's also a phone number here, 661-3857, for more information about that if you're interested. We've got, it's early registration is open here for the Chafe 150.
Wow.
I did the short one.
I didn't do the
150, but I did. I finally participated last year.
Yay.
Just in the little one. And it was fine. It was okay. I did the 20, 25, 30, something like that.
Good for you. You have goals to work up to the bigger one?
So they've got three. There's the short little one, which is just out to the Pack River store, if you know where that is, and back. And then there's another one that actually they, I believe they drive you up to near Bonner's Ferry, and you do basically the second half of the 150. Oh. It's about a 75 or 80. And then there's the big one, the Chafe 150, 150 miles, Sandpoint to Bonner's, over into Montana, and down and back to Sandpoint.
I have a tremendous respect for people that can do that.
I do likewise. I'm tempted to try that middle distance, but the 150, even if I felt like I could do it, I'm not sure that I would want to. Yeah, it does. That's quite a haul. I don't know. That's a long way to go.
But good for them. They're raising money for a good cause.
That's right. Congratulations. Early registration is open right now for the 2017 Chafe 150. Chafe150.org is the website you go to there. It's actually the 10th annual.
Rotary sponsors that, don't they?
I believe you're correct, yes. Yeah. 10th annual, and the actual ride will be June 17th. It is Girls Pint Night Out at the Idaho Poor Authority tonight. 2 hours of tasting and talking about barrel-aged stout beer in all of its complex flavors and ingredients at the Poor Authority.
I have to tell my friend Lynn that. She enjoys a stout.
She does.
Yes, she does.
Well, good for Lynn. It's not my favorite, but I can have a stout, I suppose. If someone's buying me a stout, I would drink it.
The Idaho Poor Authority is a great little place, and they're just so supportive of community efforts, too.
They sure are.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's right across the street there at the Beer Hall, Thursday night solo series. Brandon Watterson from 7 till 9. He's been playing here for quite a while, and you've heard him in a number of bands around town, and it's just him at the Beer Hall tonight at from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at McDuff's Beer Hall. Then going on at the winery, there's also live music as usual from 5:30 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. with Patrice Webb.
Oh.
Yeah, and she's great too, and also a North Idaho. She's been around North Idaho playing for quite a while now.
Absolutely.
There's live music at the Poor Authority tomorrow at with Ben and Katie. Ben Olson and Katie Archer.
They're very good.
They are very good, yeah.
Yes.
When they play with a few more people, they go by Harold's IGA.
With Justin and Jennifer.
And they'll play some of their songs, but they're one of my favorite local bands. But they're at the Poor Authority on the 20th tomorrow, the feast day of Blessed Basil Moreau, at the Idaho Poor Authority. However, on that day, tomorrow, across the street, it's Third Friday's live music with Devin Wade, little country music at McDuff's Beer Hall.
So you can zigzag down Cedar Street.
Yes. That's the move, I think. If you want to catch live music, there's like that triangle there, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Idaho Poor Authority, McDuff's Beer Hall, and the Pondre Winery
It's really nice that there's so many venues that local musicians can play in, you know, because that's, from what I've heard some of them talk about, that's always difficult to find places to go and play.
Yeah.
You know, you're not big enough that anybody's going to pay you to come, but you want to go and play. And so there's lots of places that support that. And that's terrific.
There are. And as a music listener, it's nice in January, in these cold months, it's nice to be able to go over there and kind of, you can walk from place to place without, you don't have to get in your car and drive someplace else to go check out live music.
Right.
And so anyway, they're all down on Cedar Street between Eichart's and the Poor Authority and Pondere Winery and McDuff's Beer Hall. There's something going on nearly every night, and sometimes four things going on.
Mm-hmm.
So third Friday's live music with Devin Wade from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. at McDuff's Beer Hall, an independent country music artist from right around here. Fun boot-tapping originals and classic covers. Now, going on this weekend, the Junior Race Series actually going on all week long at Schweitzer Mountain Resort. Friday night races in January on NASTAR. Do you know what that is?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep. So it's a downhill racing course, not downhill, but yeah, it's a racing course. They have timers on it. Mm-hmm. Anybody can go up there. You buy a little NASTAR. If they do it the same way that they used to, that you buy a little pass and then you can go race on the NASTAR course and you get your times. It's like you're a racer.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and the Friday night series that runs every Friday night in January is put on by the Independence Racing Team.
Mm-hmm.
And they have volunteer coaches and they put the kids in teams and they track through times improvement in the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a big celebration at the end of January with ice cream and prizes and all kinds of stuff. It's a really cool program if your kid is interested in just getting a taste of what racing is like.
Mm-hmm.
And having a lot of fun on a Friday night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, anyway, that's going on, continuing all through January on Friday nights, including tomorrow and next Friday. 255-3081 if you're interested in more information about that. Now, the Cedar Street Bridge Public Market is back. Saturdays from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. With indoor shopping on the bridge spanning Sand Creek, free and open to the public. Again, that's at the Cedar Street Bridge on Saturday the 21st from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. Carousel of Smiles open house on the 21st at the Granary. This carousel is kind of cool.
Yes, it is. I went down to see that. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet, but I'll have to go on Saturday to the open house.
Yeah.
Come visit the antique carousel ponies during an open house from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. All are welcome. The Carousel of Smiles project is to restore a historic antique carousel to its former glory, repurpose it with a newfound mission, and bring smiles to new generations. The carouselofsmiles.org is their website for more information about that. The open house, again, is on Saturday from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m., and it is a really cool project.
It's awesome, and I'm sure the owners will be there, and the wife has an interesting story about her love for carousels and how they came to have this particular one. And when they brought it here, they were in the original trucks that were, the interiors were built specifically to hold all of the parts of the carousel, you know, so it's like a puzzle inside.
Sure.
And then they loaded those truck bodies onto flatbeds to haul because they're not roadworthy anymore. So those old trucks were there too, and you could look inside and see where everything was stored, you know.
Cool.
Yeah, it was totally cool.
They found it in like a barn or a farmer's field or something like that in Kansas.
Upstate New York or Indiana or someplace.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, find out the story by going to that open house. Now, the Sandpoint Community March, if you tuned in yesterday, you're aware of what's going on. The 21st, it's a nonpartisan grassroots event, a call to get involved, open to all ages, genders, and persuasions. You meet at the Panada Theater at 11 a.m. on Saturday the 21st. Various organizations share their missions and recruit volunteers to work in the areas of protecting the environment, human and women's rights, economic and social justice, and building a welcoming and charitable community. Then you'll march to the Statue of Liberty at City Beach, not the one in New York, but just the one here. At City Beach. When I first heard about it and it said march from the Panada to the Statue of Liberty, for a second, I thought, well, that's, whoa, yeah, boy, these guys are really into it. But anyway.
Just one note, if you're going, and I hope a lot of people go, doors open at 10:30, program starts at 11, march to the Statue of Liberty about 12. And you might want to be thoughtful about where you park because Diamond does enforce parking on Saturdays. And you don't want to get a ticket. So remember, the city parking lot is free all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some 3 and 4 hour zones off. I think 3rd Street is a 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
3rd Street's a 3 and Pine Street is a three, but anyway, for the city lot as well.
Yeah, just something to think about.
Yeah, that's a good thought. Good, thank you for mentioning that. 265-7251 for more information if you're not well aware, or else go to their Facebook page. Live music on Saturday night at the Poor Authority with Scott Taylor. Live music at the Beer Hall with Harold's IGA, the full complement from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. They play a ton of originals. They have three albums out now, all of which are great. And it's free and open to the public, age 21 plus, at the Beer Hall. That's the main events, or the main entertainment and events coming up this week. There's some civic events in the near future. For example, it's puppy power hour. Puppies enjoy an hour of supervised play at the Pondere Pet Lodge and socialize during power hour, which is open to puppies 8 weeks to 6 months of age.
Isn't tonight the downtown revitalization open house at Columbia Bank on the second floor?
Downtown Streets Open House. The City of Sandpoint is holding an open house from 4:30 p.m. till 6:30 p.m. in the Columbia Bank building at 414 Church Street as the city moves ahead with the reversion of downtown streets to two-way traffic, which comes in April. That's public is invited, and that will be good to know. I think I know the map now. I think I'm aware of what it's going to look like, but I think we're all kind of anxiously awaiting to see what it's going to be like when that actually happens.
Yeah, and I think some of the points of discussion are parallel, diagonal, where to place it, you know, that kind of thing, which was all part of the downtown streets plan. So it'll be interesting to see how they integrate that with this discussion. Good stuff.
Good stuff indeed. So that's 4:30 p.m. till 6:30 p.m. And again, at the Columbia Bank building. There's an Alzheimer's support group tonight at the Sandpoint Senior Center. Actually, I say tonight, but I mean this afternoon. It's at 1 p.m. for families, caregivers, and friends of those with dementia, Alzheimer's, and any related disorder, sponsored by the Alzheimer's Association.
The Senior Center does a wonderful job over there with that Daybreak Center, too, which provides respite for caregivers.
They do.
You know, they can bring their loved one who's experiencing forms of dementia for care while they're able to get out and about a little bit and take care of business and that kind of thing.
That's the first and third, held the first and third Thursday of every month, the Alzheimer's support group. The respite care at Daybreak is available during the group sessions with advanced reservations. If you're interested in that, contact Jan Griffiths at 290-1973 or email jan@looptravel.com. The Super Kids preschool group with Jessica Hart is going on. It's a play group providing an opportunity for children to socialize with others in an enriching environment, supporting communication, social emotional development, cognitive development, and fine and gross motor skills. Session 2 is held from 9 a.m. till 11 p.m. Thursdays until January 26th at Sandpoint Community Hall. That's down on the other side of 4th Street from where we broadcast this radio program. And there's plenty more coming up. You'll have to check out your online resources like Sandpoint Online, which I'm reading from right now, if you're interested in more, because we gotta get this show on the road here. I've got an interview with the hosts of Book Starts lined up, and that will be coming up shortly. But right now, should we talk about Janis Joplin, who was born on this day in 1943, and who had a posthumous 1971 U.S. number one single with Me and Bobby McGee and the 1971 U.S. number one album Pearl. She died on October 4th, 1970, after an accidental heroin overdose at the age of 27. She's a member of that famous club. And I just found out that her ashes were scattered from a plane into the Pacific Ocean and along Stinson Beach. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Stinson Beach is very beautiful, north San Francisco.
Well, That's where she finally rests. But it was her birthday. On 1943, she was born. And so I'm not going to try to do any more math today to figure out how old she would have been. Anyway, but...
74? 74.
Okay, 74. I'll go with that. You're absolutely right. We have... I had a couple queued up here. Let's do... Oh, how about from Pearl? I'm not going to play the big hit, but we'll play something else. We'll play My Baby from the album Pearl, which did hit number one after her unfortunate demise. Here's Janis Joplin. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique, quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
Book Starts is going to be a 60-minute show with local actors reading the beginnings of books to give the listeners a good idea of what the book's about so they can make a decision if they want to go ahead and read the rest of the story.
Is that about accurate, Donya?
It is about accurate. We've got a lot of local actors that probably don't get as much time to stretch their talents and their wings and present them. And so I think the only thing I would say is rather than reading, it's more of a performance. So it feels like they're performing the story for the listener.
An old-fashioned radio acting company.
Without the sound effects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or the music. It's just short of a radio play, but it's a little more interesting to have a group of people reading characters and interacting than it is just to have a static narrator like an audiobook you might listen to in your car on the way to work.
So who came up with this idea?
Tim.
She did. We both did. We're a very collaborative couple.
We are collaborative. Tim came up with the idea to promote literacy and readership in our town, in our community. And then he tapped into my producing experience and my narrator. I narrate books, so he tapped into that and said, you can help our talent, you know, gain some more skills in narration, because narration acting, audio acting, is a very different beast when you don't have an audience to react to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice to have a producer living with me, because the most of the work of this thing has fallen on her head, because she knows how to do the production and I get to sit back and watch and say this sounds good or not. But she's my technical expert here, and so she's done most of the work on this.
You guys are also, are you actors in the production?
We are.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be like, I mean, do you read basically word for word from the text, or is it? Do you modify it a little bit?
It's pretty much word for word. Of course, there are those magic words that we've been instructed by the KRFY people here very carefully not to say. So there has been some sanitizing, mm-hmm. but we haven't changed the meaning a whit. We're being very careful to be true to the meaning of the book.
Right. And when the characters are, if it's obvious that a certain character is speaking, if their voice is distinct enough, that character is distinct enough, we drop some of the he saids, she said. So it does mm-hmm. become more of a play instead of an actual narration.
I read somewhere that it's basically as good, or it engages your mind in the same way to listen to an audiobook as it does to read it, to actually read the book. So when you say encouraging literacy and stuff, it's really... That's fairly accurate.
I hope so. I think that Sandpoint has so many artistic things going on. We've got art, and we've got huge music talent, and we've got a big theater scene. And it seems like there's that one piece of the pie of reading, and we have this giant, wonderful library full of librarians who absolutely know what they're doing, and they're helping us with this as well. So it seems like it's putting the pieces of the puzzle together pretty well. And it's one piece that we maybe didn't have.
Yeah. It is. It's something that we've never done here on KRFY, and it's exciting. It's exciting to bring something new to the airwaves. Does this end? Now, I know you haven't recorded a whole bunch of them, and I'm sure it'll change and evolve as time goes on. But do you end with a cliffhanger, leave the audience wanting more, or do you find a good spot to come to a rest in this?
We try to have a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we try to take the book. Some books will do that in just a couple of pages. Other books, you know, it takes 15, 20 pages to get them established. And so we're trying to find a place where people are left wanting to know what comes next, and that encourages them to either buy or check out the book and find out.
Who's the first book? What are we going to hear on January 24th?
The first book is called Station 11. It's by author Emily St. John Mandel. She's a BC native. She's living in New York now, and she's a best-selling author. But one of the reasons we selected this book is because I met her in Spokane a couple of years ago, and Spokane reads, everybody in town who participates read that book. So it was an interesting thing to meet her, and it's a very different book. It's classified, and it's won some sci-fi awards. But it's not aliens and it's not Star Wars kind of things. It's about a pandemic and what happens to the survivors and how they are set up, not just to survive, but to promote art and to promote theater after there's not very many people left on Earth.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, a troupe of Shakespearean actors who are traveling around from these isolated camps to present art.
Yeah. Who did you recruit to perform this book? Any names we might recognize?
Well, if you attend local theater, you'll recognize most of the names. So we have Eric Bond, we have Mike Clark, Emily Mazur, Scott Johnson, and Shelley Johnson, and I'm in it, Tim's in it, and Cale Miller.
Mm-hmm.
So all names that people who attend local theater probably recognize from the local plays that have been produced.
And I think you named 6 or 7 people, but at last count, there are 23 characters in the first 22 or 3 pages of the book. So it's a lot of fun for the actors because we can't get 23 people together every time we're going to do this. And some of the lines are, yeah, sure, get in my cab, whatever. But it's going to stretch the actors quite a bit. You have to change your voice. You can't have facial expressions to convey to an audience what's going on. And it's an interesting experience to watch somebody behind a microphone who's a pretty good actor going, oh, this is sort of hard to do.
Yeah, it's hard to keep that energy. And I missed a person, Christy Bell, who is with the Pondere Players in Newport, lives in Diamond Lake, but does a lot of work there directing and producing plays there. She was also one of the voice talents that joined us.
So what does the recording session look like? How long did it take you guys to put together this hour, too?
It looks like weeks and weeks.
Well, we learned a lot. Originally, this show was going to air weekly. And when the first one took us about 60 hours to produce, we decided that monthly would be good.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to learn a lot. I think in terms of the actors, we'll learn a lot in terms of the books we select. We don't want to make that a constraint of the books, but there's also those kind of production realities around if you have a troupe of children. I don't have a troupe of children at my beck and call, nor do I want one. So that may rule out a few books, but you know, there's a zillion books out there to choose from. And that's part of the issue, too, is how do we winnow it down? Mm-hmm. So the production, we hope we can get it more interactive and be more like a play so we don't bring people in at different times and then cut their dialogue together and sort of have this perfection sterile kind of feel to it. Mm-hmm. We want interactions, and we'll probably have some flubs that we'll leave in.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it'll sound really cool. And the amount of time you guys are putting into it is worth, if you're listening to the show and kind of on the fence, I don't know if I want to tune in just to recognize the huge effort that's gone into this and people who've volunteered their time to bring you something unique. And here in town, in the area anyway.
Yeah. Right. And another aspect of the show, Jack, is we have people in satellite locations all over the country who were reviewing books for us. So not the book that we're reading, but they are presenting other material. So if we have 10 minutes left at the end of the book, we're tapping into people in New York and Dallas and McMinnville, Oregon, and places all over the country who are avid readers and want to share their views on the best books they've read lately, too. So the listener will also, at the end of every show, get some ideas about some other books that maybe we haven't presented, but we might in the future, but that are just really great reads. And they don't have to be new books. They can be books from, you know, somebody's favorite book from the 60s, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Have you decided on what the second episode is going to be?
We have. Do you really think we should divulge?
Maybe not. Maybe not. I guess I'm just interested in how you are... how you're deciding it. And are there common threads that you're looking for between the different books that you'll be reading excerpts from?
I don't think the books will be related to one another at all, really. I'd like to span genres. I have asked the folks at the library for suggestions, and I'm finding out a lot about how the library works, and they have librarians for different genres. So I've gotten a lot of emails from the teen librarian, for instance. She's not a teenager, but she's in charge of the young adult section. And then there's science fiction, and there's historical, and there's a wide variety of things. And I don't think I've read more than one of the books that's been recommended. So it's a great thing for me, too. And I was reading a book the other day that it just sounded dull. It sounded like, why would anybody? And I got three pages in and I was hooked right away. So I think the premise of the show is like that. We'll have these books that you never in your wildest dreams would pick up for yourself. But if you hear the first 20 pages of it, it's no risk.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to spend money. I don't have to spend. All I have to do is turn on the radio. It's a safe test drive,
yeah,
kind of an idea. So I'm excited about that part of it.
Is it all coming from? I know you mentioned that some of your reviewers are going back and reading their favorite books from years gone by,
reviewing their favorite books. Uh huh.
So is it? Will you be reading older books as well, or you kind of say, the Station 11's a new one?
Station 11 is just a couple years old. I think it was last year. It was the science fiction book of the year.
Uh huh.
In Great Britain.
So it's a new book. Graphic the Valley is a few years old. That's the next book we're doing is Graphic
no!
Graphic the Valley by Peter Brown Hoffmeister. He's lives in Oregon. That will be the book we do in February. And I'm still trying to convince Tim that we ought to throw a romance in there at some point.
Oh, sure.
Well, it is the largest, most popular genre that there is, and there must be some reason for that.
Uh-huh.
So why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
So,
and, you know, we'll have to find one of the, a lot of them are coming out in two versions. You got the HBO Plus version, and then you've got the NBC Child Time version. So we will have to figure out which version to read.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, what's really fun for us is we're with these reviewers. We are having a lot of books recommended that we might have not tried before. And I think we're trying to be really open-minded to all genres of books, maybe books that we don't read, but that they will try to read. And they do this at the library. They have these folks that are by genre will get all the other librarians to read their genre. And so they're trying to expand their horizons, and it's going to help us do that as well. And I just read my first narrative nonfiction book called The Devil in the White City.
Oh, my.
It's yeah. Several years old, but it was a wonderful book. And we may end up, there's not a lot of, that would be more of a narrative rather than an acting. So mm-hmm. we're kind of on the fence of whether we would do something like that, just because it would be mostly one voice doing the speaking. And that's kind of not exactly what we're setting ourselves up to do right now.
Yeah. Well, if you ever do I would be excited. I haven't read that book, but I know I've heard nothing but good reviews.
Yeah.
And I know roughly the story of it, and it's fascinating and spooky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever do a detective story, I bet you'll get there eventually. I'd like to lend my voice to that one.
Okay.
I'll be the one
the
of
detective
the,
reviewers.
Well, yeah, I'll be the cook. Who wants to know? What's it to you?
Yeah.
I think I could have some fun with that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
No
like
more
that.
Cracks from you, or I'll uh-huh. butter your necktie.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. What else can I ask you guys about? So you have put a good deal of work into this first one. I think it'll be... You're learning things already. You'll find out.
Yeah.
The show, I'm sure, will find a comfortable groove before too long. You'll find out what the listeners like and what you guys like to perform, and it should be a welcome addition to the KRFY yeah. schedule.
Well, we're real excited about it, and the other part of it is doing this show has brought us to be a part of the KRFY group of volunteers, which is a very cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really happy that it has happened this way. When I proposed the show, I was kind of like, well, you know, what are the chances of that ever really happening? Bang, it happened pretty fast. And, you know, now we've been to the summer picnic, and we've been to the Christmas party, and we've done DJing, and we know what's going on up here. And what a jewel of a thing for our community. And I don't know if I can express it without being in person with somebody, but everybody ought to get engaged with this radio station. There is a lot going on here. If nothing else, the music is fantastic. and you guys are doing just a super job here.
Well, thanks, Tim. And you are too. Now you're a member of the team. And we are always kind of looking
group
for more.
Hug.
Yeah, yeah. Proud to be.
Well, we're always looking for, of course we would go with something like this. We're looking for new broadcasters and new ideas to bring on the air all the time. So this is also a good opportunity to kind of give a shout out. If someone's looking to volunteer, thinks you might be interested in spending some time up here in the booth, spinning those tunes during Otto's eclectic mix. Drop on by. It is a fun group, and we're looking for more. Let's see. So it's going to air once a month on Tuesday nights, and at 7 o'clock is the scheduled time. And the 24th, are we going to, what is that? The fourth Tuesday of the month.
Yep.
And that's the way it's going to be, I guess. Tuesday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's clear it's recorded. We're not doing this live in the studio. We're not bringing actors in here. We're putting it all together beforehand mm-hmm. with the reviews and all of that. So there's always a potential for people to call in later or interact in some way with us to make suggestions, to get engaged, to be involved. We're going to do 12 shows this year. We've got two of them pretty well done, but it's going to morph. Things will change. We'll have new people, we'll have new features, we'll have other things that will happen. That's the other nice thing is nobody here said it's got to be exactly this way. It's mm-hmm. it's really an open, creative kind of thing. That's pretty exciting, too. It'll be fun to make it change. And if people have suggestions and want to do different things, we're wide open to that.
And they can make those suggestions or recommend actors at halfactplayers.com.
Oh.
Yeah, we're setting up a website.
I just had a brainstorm. You mentioned it's all going to be recorded, but we could do, during our annual membership drive, we always have musicians come in and perform live on the air. And wouldn't it be fun to do a short, a little play live on the air during our membership drive come June? Start thinking about that.
Right. And one more thing, what you just said made me think of something else. And that is that it doesn't have to be books. There are local playwrights or regional playwrights. We're open to reading their work. Song lyrics, poems, scripts. We're open to pretty much anything that is a story that we can get a group of people together to perform.
Yeah, I like to think about that as being any kind of written word that elicits a journey of the imagination is a possibility for this show. And so it doesn't matter what it is. If your six-year-old wrote the best picture book you can imagine, we could give that a try. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
It's early, 7 o'clock. That's not too late in the day.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Do you find you have a target audience? I know you said kind of genres are going to be, you're going to span a lot of genres, so.
I'm just thinking about those extremely intelligent, smart, genius kind of people.
Like you, Tim.
Not like everybody listening right now.
Yeah. There's no age limit as far as we know. There's no cover, no minimum. You can listen to that show for free on Tuesday nights, January 24th. What are you guys? Anything we haven't mentioned as far as what you're excited about for upcoming shows? Anything you're really looking forward to doing in the year to come? Or is that still to be determined?
It's still to be determined. There are a couple books in the future. The other thing that I'm getting a benefit of, and it's really fun, is if I decide that I want to secure permission, and I always make sure it's okay with authors and agents and publishers and all that, I have had interactions with some great authors already.
Uh-huh.
I get on their website and say, we have this community-supported radio station in Sandpoint, Idaho. Like to read your book. And they get back with me right away. And there's some best-selling authors that I've had interchanges with that I never would have imagined would have answered their own email, but they do it.
Yeah.
And that's a humanizing, you kind of feel like these people probably are up here someplace in the clouds and probably don't mix in with us regular people, but they do. And it's really a lot of fun to see that. It really is.
It's the Half Act Players present Book Starts. It starts here on KRFY January 24th at 7 o'clock p.m. We're all very excited to hear it, to tune in.
Thanks, Jack.
Make some popcorn and pull up to the radio and, tune in.
Right.
Thanks for coming in, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. We'll talk to you next time.
It's great to visit with you.
That's going to about do it for the KRFY Morning Show. Thanks to Tim Martin and Donya Clarine again. And thanks to Carrie Logan for coming in and keeping me company this morning. Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that. Starting off with Robert Palmer and then Dolly Parton for the first two songs of KRFY's Otto's Eclectic Mix, because it is both of their birthdays. See you on Tuesday for the KRFY Morning Show.